Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur spokesperson for God. Ha! Captain America's sidekick, Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lanterns in the church belfry of the Lighthouse Baptist Church that signal the enemies on the march. An enemy who would steal from us our liberty. But have no fear, ladies and gentlemen, I'm on watch. Okay, a belated Remember December 7th to you. I apologize to all my regular listeners. Normally, I would have offered a tribute to the heroes of World War II, but I had to run encores last week. Oh, what a week it was. Up to Northern California for a home missions conference with my good friend Pastor Stevens at Calvary Baptist Church in American Canyon. And that was Monday and Tuesday. Then from San Francisco Airport, I took a red-eye flight to Corpus Christi, Texas, for a regional intercessor prayer and revival conference. Second year that I've had the privilege to preach to the pulpit of Dr. Cowger of People's Baptist Church in Corpus Christi. Some of you might remember the late, great Lester Roloff. Well, that was his home church. In fact, he started the church. Roloff homes are still operating, by the way, and the church there is seeking God's face for revival. Well, here is the problem. I stayed in one of the campus dorms there on that property and had no internet access. And this was not the original plan. I tote my radio show producing equipment with me everywhere I go. But as it happens sometimes, plans changed and I ended up in a situation where I could not get any new shows posted for the radio station. Therefore, we had to run encores. But happily, for those of you who are subscribers to our podcast, you were treated to one of my most popular shows titled Rhetoric Wars for the first time. And I see that you enjoyed it. All right, I'm back in the saddle and raring to tally-ho. So get ready. The Brain Massage Show is on the air. Take that, you prince of the power of the air. A lot has happened since my last show, Climate Gate. And then, of course, the comic act of President-elect, where's your birth certificate, sir? Obama at Copenhagen. Also, three of our Navy SEALs charged. Well, one was accused of punching a terrorist. The other for, well, making false statements to cover it up. Here is a headline, quote, government has yet to provide evidence to support the prosecution of Navy SEALs for alleged punching of terrorist, end quote. All right. And then, of course, the news of Air Trans Flight 297 has certainly got some folks stirred up. What do all of these things have in common, you ask? Well, let us begin with our brave Navy SEALs being dragged into court for alleged punching of terrorist. Two of the SEALs are accused of making false statements regarding the incident in which one is accused of alleged punching of terrorists, quote unquote. The punched terrorist is none other than Ahmed Hashim Abed. Well, Ahmed Hashim Abed is the, quote, alleged architect of the murder of four Blackwater USA security guards in Fallujah, Iraq, in 2004, end quote. These guys were over there superintending the delivery of food and clothing to Iraqis. But what made these murders particularly dastardly is that the, quote, bodies of the four Americans were burned and hanged from a bridge, end quote. Now you remember, don't you? Well, our Navy SEALs caught this low-life, scum-sucking dirtbag, and now he's whining like a little sissy boy. He hit me. He hit me. He hit me. All his little baby boys crying. He hit me. He hit me. This is the guy who participated in killing four Americans, burning their bodies, and then hanging them from a bridge. And so this little crybaby gets caught, and he comes up with this story about one of the Navy SEALs hitting him in the stomach. I read one article where it was alleged that he was bleeding from the mouth. Wah! Wah! He hit me! He hit me! Think about it. These guys have trained to our system, man. In other words, they know how the system works here, and they've got a willing dupe in the Oval Office implementing policies that are on the side of the terrorists and in opposition to our own troops. The assumption is that the American soldier is brutal, a torture monger, who just loves to go around cutting off heads and burning the bodies of those we capture and hanging them on a bridge. Oh, wait, no. That's not what our boys do. That's what they do. Our Navy SEALs, quote, have been tracking this guy, and that's Abed, since 2004, end quote, said the father of hero Navy SEAL Matthew Vernon McCabe, who was the young man accused of alleged punching of terrorists. He pointed out that, quote, there was no collateral damage, no shots fired. It is absurd to think they would have done anything to him. These guys are pros. If they wanted to do something to him, they would have done it during the capture, end quote. Well, I guess so. I'm guessing that right about now, McCabe and his buddies are thinking that might have been a good idea. I'm guessing that right about now, thousands of fellow SEALs are making some decisions about what they're going to do when they come across one of these yahoos. Well, pray for SEALs Matthew McCabe, Julio Huertas, and Jonathan Keefe. Anyway, these clever Muslim devils are going to take full advantage of the ridiculous administration of our president-alleged, where is their birth certificates, sir, to tie our system into knots, forcing us to litigate every single time we catch one of these conniving, murdering terrorist lowlifes. And the question is, we wonder, whether truth in the issue will even matter. We have already seen this over and over. The powers that be need to make some kind of point, you know, and they are willing to destroy the lives of our soldiers or border guards to make their point. Political correctness is a strange creature. Political correctness is the new self-righteousness in America. You see, it works like this. They define truth as what the self-righteous politically correct believe that it is. And so truth then must be served and at all costs. The truth by them, in their way of thinking, is served when the politically correct position is upheld. Now follow this. They've created a standard of righteousness independent of God and contrary to the Bible. And you thought the term self-righteous simply meant someone who regarded themselves as a holier-than-thou kind of personality. It's certainly used that way, but technically, it refers to someone who has established their own righteousness and refused to submit themselves to the righteousness of the Creator. So the modern self-righteous among us have accepted the idea that what they believe is right, and therefore it's okay to lie, to distort facts, to ignore contradicting facts, and so on, all if it's necessary to protect the truth. Sort of reminds us of, the Inquisition. All that mattered was protecting the, quote, truth, end quote, of the church, no matter how many lies had to be told or crimes against humanity had to be perpetrated to do it. So the self-righteous religious liberals in our culture have defined their standard of righteousness on the maxim of Christ, turn the other cheek, to terrorists, so that the terrorists will see what nice people we are. This is the standard of righteousness arrogantly assumed by the politically correct simpletons. So, it's all about, let's see how nice we are. We will take a Muslim terrorist, word for it, without witnesses. You say you were punched. Well, then watch how we torment our Navy SEALs. Watch how patiently they take the flogging. Watch how we beat ourselves up in front of you. See how nice we are? The simple-minded, politically correct crowd self-flagellates. Whip, whip, whip. Oh, look at us hit ourselves. See how sorry we are for existing? for existing in the world with you and refusing to bow to Sharia law. Oh, wait, Obama is bowing to Sharia. Anyway, see how good we are? We are so sorry for putting you in a position where you might have been punched by one of our soldiers. This is nuts. Listen, you see, the Muslim terrorists are supposed to see this and go, oh, how nice is the American, how good, how kind. We're being dolts here, my friends. They are mocking our asinine simplicity. The self-righteousness behind this is a hideous, perverted creature invented by seducing spirits. Those are devils, by the way. Invented by seducing spirits from Bible texts that are isolated from their context and twisted into self-contradicting nonsense. And what do I mean by self-contradicting? Well, how dare you, religious liberals, turn the cheek of these men who to be slapped by these terrorists? I mean, these men who have dedicated their lives to protect ours from scumbags like Ahmed. I mean, you make a criminal out of the righteous and justify these wicked liars, and you do it in the name of justice? Some of you in the name of Jesus? You've got to be kidding me. I don't know if McCabe punched the jerk in the belly or not. Well, if he did, he ought to get a medal for it, Pilgrim. I don't do a good John Wayne. But anyway, all right. All right. I know these guys are expected to be professional soldiers, and our standards for handling prisoners of war are certainly above any gratuitous punching of terrorists. And, well, we'll see how all this goes when we get the full story. But at this point, our Navy SEALs deny it. And for my part, the terrorist who murdered 4 Americans, burned their bodies, and hung them on a bridge, well, he can just stop his belly aching. Interesting selection of expression here. He can quit whining like a little boy who got into a fight with a neighbor kid and got the wind knocked out of him in a, well, playground fight. Do you understand my point? I mean, is this absurd or what? Even if he did get his lunch launched, it's not a federal case. A suspension, a warning, that's it. Now, next item. Flight 297 departing Atlanta for Houston left the gate and began taxiing to the runway. When the pilot suddenly turned around and brought the ship back to the gate. Several Muslim men were deboarded, questioned for something like 2 hours, and all but 2 were allowed to return to the plane. Some crew members refused to fly with these men on the plane, and several passengers likewise refused and insisted on deboarding the plane. The MSM, Muslim Sycophant Media, says the plane was delayed because one passenger refused to turn off his cell phone. But that's not what some eyewitnesses to the event are saying. What really happened here? Well, a certain Texan, a fellow by the name of Petruna, who claims he was on that flight, wrote an email describing 12 to 13 Muslim men in full Muslim dress, and I guess that means they were wearing their skirts and scarves, boarding the plane, with 2 in first class and the rest dispersed throughout the plane, who were loud and obnoxious and refused to comply with the flight attendant's instructions. He describes them as becoming belligerent and standing up on cue, it seemed, together, moving into the aisles while the plane was taxiing on the to the runway, and communicating with one another, evidently on a cell phone, one talking to a guy in first class, so on, appearing to be pulling electronic devices from their luggage until, finally, the pilot turned the plane around and headed back for the gate. The Muslim men were then deboarded, and all but 2 were allowed to return to the plane. When these men were put back on the plane, a flight attendant, according to Petruna, was aghast and refused to fly with those men on board, and insisted on leaving the flight. And according to this Texan, the entire crew left the plane, and a new crew came on board. At about this time, the Texan declares he wanted to be allowed to get off the airplane. And the replacement flight attendant objected, explaining to him that he would have to take his seat. And he explained that this wasn't going to happen. And others on the plane joined in. And together, they were finally allowed to leave the plane. Now, the Texan says the flight was canceled. Okay, a friend of Petruna, who received his email from his friend, is himself a former Marine and NASA employee, and he forwarded the email of his friend together with his name, address, and phone number to a columnist named Laura Armstrong, who is a columnist for the Marietta Daily Journal in Marietta, Georgia. And she did some digging. And remember, the MSM, Muslim Sycophant Media, has downplayed the incident, saying it was about one fellow, not identified as Muslim, by the way, who refused to turn off an electronic device. They said a cell phone. Others said it was a video camera of some sort. This is the formal story, by the way, of AirTran airline officials. Okay, now let's begin looking at the facts. First of all, the flight was delayed for 2 hours. Hello? I mean, this is a fact that is not disputed by the airline. They can't dispute it. It's on record. I've done a whole lot of flying. No one refuses to turn off their electronic device to the point of causing such a distraction that the flight is held up for 2 hours. Like, not without the entire population of the plane, like, coming down on the idiot. No, there's something else going on here. I mean, you know, sometimes you have a kid who will have his head banging music blaring into his ears so loud, softening his brain to mush. he can't hear anyone, and so the attendant has to quietly approach the youngster and get his attention. Or he might have a businessman furiously trying to finish some proposal or important communication that he needs to, you know, one more second, holding one finger up while the other hand is flailing away in the keyboard. And finally shuts it. Sorry. I mean, you know, I've seen a little bit of that along the way. But my friend, if there was one fellow on this plane so dull that he refused to turn off his device even after the flight attendant specifically asked him to, and after the plane has already begun taxiing from the gate, and to the point the pilot decided to turn the plane around and go back to the gate, followed by not simply a removal of that lone offender and resumption of the flight, but a 2-hour delay, well, I think you see my point. AirTran is being ridiculous. And so it's obvious the airline is lying. They are taking advantage of some relatively minor inaccuracies in Petruna's account of the events in order to dismiss the total thing as an invention, a fabrication. Petruna circulated the email to his friends, and of course not anticipating it would go national. And he did not provide a journalist's accounting of the facts, you know, but an emotionally colored personal account of something that happened that got his blood pumping big time. Now the airline is claiming he was not even on the plane. He has a boarding pass that says he was on the plane, but more importantly, other independent eyewitnesses who have been willing to speak about this have verified most of Petruna's account of the events. And so if he was not on the plane, he certainly had a lot of details about the incident only someone on the plane could have had. Now, when you have multiple witnesses, you expect different specific details to emerge from the various vantage points of view that are represented by the witnesses. It is also not uncommon to have inaccuracies in the accounts, especially if the event was traumatic. And yes, many people tend to embellish a story. And so to get what really happened, you have to pull together all the witnesses and examine them in the context of what facts you can establish and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, when this work is done, here's what we know for sure. Some 13 Muslims dressed in traditional Muslim attire boarded AirTran Flight 297 and behaved in a manner that demonstrated an obvious intention to disrupt the flight, and probably with the hope of provoking someone to attack them or perhaps to react to them in a way where they can make a case, you know. One was videotaping the incident, by the way. Or, as some have suggested, perhaps this was done to break down passenger and flight attendants' level of alert for anticipating future flights, where a large group of Muslims flying together in Muslim attire might in fact be planning another 9/11-style attack. We don't really know, now do we? Now, here's the point of the first segment of the show today. What is going on? Folks, we're just coming off the Fort Hood massacre by a Muslim terrorist who, fresh from a strip joint the night before, shot and killed 13 and wounded 30 at Fort Hood, you know, while crying Allahu Akbar. And another Muslim terrorist attack on a professor at Binghamton University in Vestal, New York. That professor was Jewish, 77 years of age, named Richard Antoon. He was murdered. He was stabbed to death by a Muslim student, and many of us have not forgotten 9/11. Hey. So we are in such a state of sensitivity to such things that a kid in grammar school draws a picture of a gun and the MSM have a cow and school boards go into apoplectic fits. And I mean, you know, second graders have been suspended for such behavior since 9/11. So why aren't these yahoos being cuffed and dragged off the plane and thrown into prison? I let them bust rocks for a year. That'll cool them down. Anyway, we notice that AirTran is obviously lying to cover up the incident, and the mainstream media is complicit in the cover-up because truth doesn't matter. What matters is their agenda, and that is the point today. Truth does not matter to these people. I mean, not truth as in facts or reality. The AirTran company does not want people knowing about this, and if they have to destroy a man's reputation by lies, well, that's what they'll do. A Navy SEAL is accused by a murdering terrorist of punching him in the stomach, and we wonder here if the truth will even matter to anyone. We've already seen cases where some brave soldiers have had their lives destroyed for doing their duty, you know, by a system bent on making some kind of politically correct point. Quit using our soldiers as political pawns. Truth does not matter, it seems. The agenda of the politically correct crowd is what matters these days. I mean, take Climate Gate, for example. Look what is going on here. Now, I'm going to roll right on through the break. I don't have time to stop. Okay, look at this. Some emails are hacked that prove global warming is a scam, a hoax. These emails reveal that scientists have knowingly obstructed certain studies from getting exposure and skewed other studies purposely to advance their conclusions about human contribution to global warming. The MSM decides to play down the story, like the AirTran Flight 297 story. The Times, for example, says while it is a story, it is not a three-alarm story. And they keep emphasizing that this information was stolen. Oh, yeah. That the memos were not for the public eye. And many are crying, hey, what about the Pentagon Papers? Remember those? Not for public eyes. Remember when such obvious efforts to cover up and tamper with evidence and obstruct efforts to get information to the public, you know, that might contradict their favorite conclusions? Remember when censoring science was considered a horrific crime? Remember Watergate, for heaven's sake. The Pentagon Papers, I mentioned them earlier. You see, truth does not matter. The political agenda is what matters. I mean, these scientists talk about how they can destroy raw data without getting caught. How to destroy, quote, destroy evidence for a freedom of information request, end quote. You know, talk about hiding. They talk together, each other, about hiding numbers that contradict their belief that temperatures were constantly rising. Time says, well, this is no more than, quote, an embarrassing revelation that scientists can be petty and defensive and even cheat around the edges, end quote. Can you believe this? These are the same people who over and over and over called Bush a liar because he believed intelligence reports regarding Saddam Hussein and WMD. It's unbelievable. You see, it has been decided that global warming is the truth, and so it does not matter how many lies are told to advance that truth. The only thing that can be a problem to these people is if something contradicts their truth. Then they go ballistic. MSNBC says ClimateGate is, quote, a controversy that is not really there, end quote. No kidding. trying to pass it off as, quote, differences in semantics, end quote. Can you believe this? It's all explained for us. You see, according to these news reporters, the word trick used in one of the documents, used in a context in which they were explaining how certain evidence that contradicted their established warming trends, how they used this clever device to hide those numbers. I kid you not. And so how do they explain this? Well, according to Penn State scientist Michael Mann, the word trick doesn't actually, quote, refer to any kind of deception, but listen, but to a very well-known accepted data technique, end quote. Now, some of you have enough sense and maturity to smell weasel words when you hear them. And those are weasel words, my friend. That word was used in the context of concealing evidence that contradicted predicted warming trends. This is too much. So the MSNBC reporter lets offer an explanation to all of this, and I want to conduct an experiment. I predict that every conservative, traditional values person listening to me will immediately react with horror that anyone with sense could actually buy into the rationalization these reporters used to explain away what these scientists have done. And furthermore, I predict that all of you who listen to me who are liberal ideologues, of course you'll never admit that, but you who have convinced yourself that you are rational, honest, level-headed liberals, I predict that when I read the explanation they gave for what these scientists did, hey, I predict you will pause, consider and reflect, and sort of nod in agreement with them, and you'll find a way to get your head around it. Let's see how close I come to my predictions. These knotheads offered the following explanation for why these scientists used what they called a trick to conceal evidence that contradicted their predicted warming trends. Why they conspired together to destroy raw data that tended to contradict their findings, and how it is that they conspired with one another to get around giving information that is damaging to their position in response to a request for that information based on the Freedom of Information Act. Now, are you ready for this? They've, and referring to the scientists, they've been working so many decades trying to get some traction on the global warming science that they really can't afford to have much detracting science get out, end quote. Now, you see, some of you liberals are sufficiently nuanced to be able to wrap your head around that. But us basic down-to-earth folk who just sort of think clearly, see right through that nonsense, does this sound something like, quote, I don't want a lot of talking going on out there, end quote, you know? Obama decided there was a group of Americans he has no interest in hearing from. And in fact, he does not want a lot of talking going on from those people. What an amazing thing for a president to say. I mean, even if he was actually born in Kenya. It's amazing. Now we are listening to TV talking heads, the people many of you get your news from, excusing scientists from lying, massaging their studies, obstructing contradictory evidence from getting into their reports, and it's explained this way. Well, I mean, hey, they've been trying for decades to get attention on global warming, and, well, they simply can't afford to have a lot of detracting science getting out there. Outrageous! Truth does not matter. Remember when Clinton was in office, morality simply did not matter. The entire nation was exposed to the spectacle of the Oval Office being used by our president to get, in the streets it's called a blowjob, but from an intern in the Oval Office. Does this shock you? Are you outraged that I would say such a thing? Where was the outrage when that man was doing this sort of thing in the people's house? Anyway, when it came right down to it, the MSM and their liberal buds circled the wagons, and the basic message was that this sort of thing did not really matter, you see. We learned that morality did not matter. Now, with Obama in the Oval Office, we are being told that truth does not matter. Of course, Clinton certainly had issues with the truth. I mean, committed perjury and all that, but that did not matter. Why? Because it was about a personal morality issue, you see, and that was because morality didn't really matter. So now we have a president alleged who is making it very clear to us all that, the truth simply does not really matter. I mean, basically, that's what we're being told. A while back, you remember, I pointed out that even among his supporters, there is a basic acceptance and understanding that the man's a liar. One NPR reporter I heard say he is such a charming liar, though, end quote. So now lying is something we are to expect from our president and from scientists. After all, when someone has been trying to bring attention to a problem for so long a time, well, they can't afford to have a bunch of people talking who disagree with them or allow a bunch of scientific studies to get out that contradict it. It's unbelievable. But, folks, it is like President Lincoln said so many years ago. You can fool all of the people some of the time, and you can fool some of the people all of the time, but you cannot fool all of the people all of the time. The fact is, in America, belief in global warming is at an all-time low. And this Harris poll was taken before ClimateGate, interestingly enough. Belief in global warming has fallen from 75% in 2001 to 51% in 2009. Take the abortion trade. Planned Parenthood is panicking. For the first time since Roe v. Wade, a majority of Americans identify themselves as pro-life. The abortuaries are losing business as crisis pregnancy centers are cutting into it by rescuing babies from being murdered. So the Planned Parenthood crowd is fighting back. They are working to have cities like in, I think, Baltimore, require these pregnancy centers to post a sign that says, quote, "We do not provide or make referrals for abortion or birth control services," end quote. Hey, how about Planned Parenthood clinics post a sign that says, "We do not provide information about the baby in your womb that might alert you to the fact that the baby is a human being that you are about to murder." Anyway, here is another place in our society where the truth is hidden, where the truth is avoided at all costs, where science is skewed, twisted, where people are denied access to facts about abortion, its risks, and so forth. I mean, we require all sorts of warning labels and everything, but you don't get any disclosure to these kids about the risks involved in abortion. Why is this happening? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because truth does not matter to Americans anymore. It's not like it used to be. Now we're being besieged by lies. Lies are the foundation upon which our education system is operating today. Lies that have robbed our history and our heritage as Americans. Lies that have destroyed the integrity of our science. Lies that have destroyed the integrity of our cultural values. Lies. They're all a pack of liars. It's unbelievable what's going on in this country. Well, I've lit the lights in the Belfry Arch that signal the enemies on the march. Get these shows into all the hands you can. Check in, my fellow reviewers. Call me at 1-888-770-8000 or write me at my email at santamarialighthouse.org. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.